Welcome to Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the rare disease community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. Today we're talking with Josh Disbrow, Chief Executive of A2 Bio, headquartered in Englewood, Colorado. A2 Bio is a specialty pharmaceutical company developing potentially life-saving products in the areas of pediatric onset and rare disease, particularly severe upper respiratory conditions. Thank you for being with us, Josh. Please tell us a little bit about your company and its objectives.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Great to be with you today. And the company is, as you said, based in Englewood, Colorado. We are a specialty pharmaceutical company that's really evolved tremendously over the past several years. And as you said, we've got a focus in developing therapeutics that treat life-threatening diseases. And we do have a focus around severe respiratory illnesses and are developing an asset called Healight to treat potentially COVID-19, but as well as others, including ventilator-associated pneumonia and potentially other difficult-to-treat respiratory infections. And another centerpiece of our development platform is an asset we call AR101, which is a molecule that, if approved, would be the first and only treatment for a rare, devastating disease called vascular Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And so we're developing both of those assets while we commercialize a line of pediatric and ADHD products. The company was incorporated back in 2015, and we've expanded quite rapidly, and we are generating just under $100 million in revenue annually. We focus our efforts commercially in the U.S., but with these two assets that we're developing, Healight and AR101, we expect that those are going to be global opportunities and enable us to expand our reach throughout the world.
What is the origin of the name of your company?
So the name of the company, of course, is A2, A-Y-T-U, and we took it as an opportunity to pay a little bit of homage to two companies, one that we were spun out of in 2015 to form the company called Ampio Pharmaceuticals. That name starts with an A. But my brother and I, who co-founded this company with me, Jarrett Disbrow, he and I started and grew a company called Arbor Pharmaceuticals. Based in the East Coast, we started it in Raleigh, North Carolina, and exited that company. And so as we talked about names and sort of how we would form the next company, we thought, well, where did we come from and sort of who gave us help to get us started? So Arbor was the namesake of our first company. And so we thought about doing a second iteration in A2. And we're spun out of a company called Ampio, which, of course, their name starts with an A. And so a little bit of creativity there to pay homage to those two companies whose names start with A. And so we became A2, the second Ampio or the second Arbor, as it were. And here we are. And it just turned out that AYTU, we thought, was a creative way to sort of spell the notion of the second coming of Arbor or A2. And we built the company in a similar vein, that we would be creative, we would be acquisitive, and we've been very much that over the last several years.
Wonderful. You started to talk about your patented technology, Healight. Could you explain what this is and what its applications are?
Yeah, Healight is a platform, really, and the basis for it is it's an endotracheal respiratory catheter. It was developed by a group of scientists, clinicians at Cedars-Sinai here in Los Angeles. So we license all global rights to this catheter technology that can be used for a variety of things, most notably used as an anti-infective. We licensed all nasopharyngeal and esophageal, so essentially all respiratory applications globally to the technology. And the basis of it is UVA light. There's UVA, B, and C, and this specifically utilizes specific ranges of UVA light, and they are very small LED lights, as you can imagine, that are formed around a tracheal, endotracheal catheter. And it is inserted down a breathing tube. At least the initial iteration of Healight is one that would be contemplated as a tracheal catheter that would go down the ET tube, the endotracheal tube, in patients that have been intubated and are ventilated and have a severe respiratory infection, such as a severe pneumonia, COVID-19, ventilator-associated pneumonia might be a consequence of one of those. And ultimately, it's administered using the specific wavelength of light over a specific period of time, and it has shown to be very effective. The earliest studies were actually done in gastrointestinal applications. The original researchers actually are gastroenterologists at Cedars-Sinai. When COVID hit, they pivoted, as so many researchers and scientists did, to look at the potential application of this technology in COVID-19 to see if it could kill human coronavirus. Turns out that it could. They originally studied it in vitro, and then the early work specifically looking at the coronavirus 229E bug, which is really more the commonplace.
So I understand correctly that ultraviolet A actually kills the coronavirus.
It does, yeah. And that has been shown in vitro in early work, and then subsequently a study specific to COVID-19 was conducted. It was a small number of patients, but the proof of concept data were quite compelling, demonstrating that with the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus that, of course, we all know so well now, this technology was able to significantly decrease the viral load, the viral burden that those patients had in hospital. And of five patients that were studied, four patients fully recovered by virtue of having the HealLight technology on board along with standard of care. So it was quite compelling. And that inspired us to move forward and do a larger study. And so the potential now to expand that into a study that we're doing in Barcelona, Spain, with a leading opinion leader by the name of Antonio Torres in Barcelona, University Clinic de Barcelona in Spain. We're now looking to do a larger study. In parallel with that, we think there's huge application in ventilator-associated pneumonia, which is certainly not as common as coronavirus, but it's deadly. And the prognosis for patients that go into the hospital and develop ventilator-associated pneumonia, so these are patients that might be on a ventilator or are on a ventilator, pathogens get introduced from the external environment and ultimately get infected, and those patients have very, very poor outcomes. And in a very early study,
these are really, we're talking about in context of coronavirus, of COVID-19, we're talking about patients who are intubated and who have severe disease, correct?
Correct. That'd be the initial application.
Right. And at what stage of the approval process is HealLight with regards to FDA?
So it's still early on. I would still say we're in the mid-innings, so to speak. And we sort of think of this upcoming study in Barcelona as a phase two study, if you were to put it sort of in drug development terms. It is a device. And obviously, with the regulations around emergency use authorizations and their equivalents around the world, remains to be seen exactly kind of when this would become approvable. But we think on the other side of this proof of concept study, and we anticipate enrolling 40 patients, we may have enough information to submit to the European authorities, potentially to the U.S. authorities. And so it's, I would call it in the mid stage of development.
So it possibly may get approval by the EMA before the FDA.
I think that's possible. And we may or may not get a formal approval given sort of where things are with emergency status and so forth. Right. But if we don't pursue something through an emergency pathway with the EMA, we may be looking at a more of a traditional CE mark as a class two device. Mm-hmm. We believe it'd be a class two device.
Now, as you know, Rare Disease Advisor, of course, our main theme is rare diseases. And so our audience would be particularly interested in what applications it might have for rare pulmonary conditions such as pulmonary fibrosis, possibly alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, maybe pulmonary arterial hypertension. Would they possibly have applications in those diseases?
It may very well. UV light has tremendous potential, and we think of it primarily as an antibacterial or an antiviral, more broadly speaking, an anti-infective. But if you think about some of these other diseases and you think about the inflammatory response that's pervasive in some of these diseases, the ability for UVA light to be a therapeutic benefit, I think, is very real. So if you think about the ability of UV light, and we've seen this in early studies, and we've seen this, of course, in a preclinical setting, but there's this notion of cell signaling. And if you can activate the mitochondria within the cells, and you can do that, we believe, with light and specifically with UVA light, there may be potential to significantly improve the immune response across a spectrum of cell types throughout the respiratory system. So while we have not studied anything specific to alpha-1 antitrypsin or any of those conditions that you're sort of speaking around, there is theoretically potential that it could have application in some of those rare pulmonary diseases.
I see. And you said that the company has already reached over $100 million in revenue.
We are just knocking at the door of that. Yeah, we put a merger together about a year ago, and so we're getting ready to complete our third full quarter with those combined revenues. The last quarter, we reported just over $23 million in revenue. We'll report our next quarter here coming up shortly. And so I think the bottom line is we're on more or less an annualized run rate of just under $100 million. Yes.
Would you talk just a bit about your VEDS technology, your potential therapy in the pipeline for vascular Ehlers-Danlos syndrome?
Yeah, happy to. This is very exciting, Larry, in that we have secured global rights to a molecule and the specific application of this molecule in VEDS. And first, let me say VEDS is a horrible disease. It's a connective tissue disorder whereby through a genetic deficiency, specifically a deficiency in type 3 collagen, these patients go on to live shortened lifespans. They, on average, die by virtue of an arterial rupture on average by the age of 51, which is just devastating. These patients inherit this deficient gene, specifically the COL3A1 gene, that leads to this deficient development of type 3 collagen. And it's type 3 collagen that really gives your vasculature its strength and girth, so to speak. And so with that being deficient, these patients with VEDS, vascular Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, are highly prone to spontaneous rupture of the aorta, of the hollow organs throughout the body, throughout the vascular tree. And there's no cure and there's no treatment really anywhere on the planet. There are no approved treatments in the U.S., in Europe, or elsewhere for VEDS. And so what we have is a molecule called enzastaurin, which has been studied over the past several years in oncology. And it's in a class of drugs called protein kinase C beta inhibitors, PKC beta inhibitors. And what was demonstrated throughout about a decade of development by Eli Lilly and company in two specific types of cancer is that this molecule dramatically squelches the aberrant signal that is pervasive in these diseases. And that signal is an upregulated protein kinase C. And along the way, a very wise scientist, researcher, and clinician by the name of Dr. Hal Dietz at Johns Hopkins here in the U.S. discovered that this mechanism of action of this molecule, enzastaurin, may prove to have benefit in this disease, VEDS, because what we see in VEDS, and it's important that while these patients die of spontaneous ruptures, VEDS is not a disease of hemodynamics. It's not a blood pressure disease. That was thought heretofore, but it is now understood that, frankly, blood pressure medicines may deliver modest value in really improving outcomes and decreasing the rate of events in these patients. So he took it sort of a full outside in and then an inside out approach to really understand the mechanism of disease. And what he and his team have discovered over many years and significant modeling and research in his laboratory is that downregulation of this off-the-charts upregulated protein kinase C should have benefit. And in fact, he studied in an animal model and specifically used this molecule, enzastaurin, in a mouse model in his laboratory. They knocked in this genetic error, and they essentially made these mice, VEDS mice, and they almost immediately died. They lived very short lives. They had these spontaneous ruptures, as you would see in humans, and the pathophysiology is nearly identical to what you would experience in the human condition. And then he took those knock-in mice, and he treated them with a protein kinase C beta inhibitor, and almost like magic, their rate of events went down dramatically, 60 to 90% reduction in the rate of death of these animals. And so there we've discovered that nature has found a way to potentially defeat this disease by virtue of downregulating, essentially squelching this aberrant cell signal and downregulating this protein kinase C. And we took that information to the FDA. We took all of the years of research that Lilly had poured into this. They had an open IND. They had all the data that you would really need to essentially establish that it's safe. We now just need to go to the next step and study this in humans to see, does this signaling phenomenon hold? We think it does because patients that die of these aortic and spontaneous ruptures, they have tremendously high levels of PKC. And so if logic holds and the model sort of bears fruit, so to speak, we think we have something. And so we're now in a position to move this directly to a registrational pivotal study using that data with the FDA's blessing.
Wonderful. We're out of time. Josh, thanks very much for talking with us. We appreciate it. Good luck to you. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.